The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
More high drama as we start the show today. Right as Ursula's beginning her newscast.
Your voice must be so comforting or something. He always pops up right when you're talking.
Yeah, what is the
Never
deal?
During the show.
What is the deal?
Or it's but just I will that tell my you. Voice is really annoying.
Scary.
Ralphie, our mouse, went back and forth during my newscast. And I just, he ended up right under where your feet would be right now.
Yeah. And you see the trap I set on Friday? The food's gone and it's been triggered.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if he's injured.
Oh, because he was looking kind of frantic.
He might be injured.
Oh, now I'm feeling sad.
He was still running, though.
No, I'll reset the trap.
He was running.
Well, then he's okay. Then he's fine. I'll reset the trap. That's what we're dealing with as we begin the radio show today.
He needs more airtime than anybody.
I know. Was he in the studio during Tom and Curly?
Nope.
Ah, don't blame him for that. He knows what show to come out for. He knows what show to listen to. Okay, let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, that's from the story you just heard in Ursula's newscast. And that is, with all of his cross-country travel trying to prop up Democratic governors in other states, Jay Inslee's budget that you and I pay for, they are asking for a huge, more than $1 million increase in what you and I pay for the governor's security when he travels around for Democratic events in this country. In the past fiscal year, the State Patrol's Executive Protection Unit, they have a $2.6 million budget allotment. They're $400,000 over budget with overtime and travel, accounting for 62% of that overage. And they say they need another $1.3 million because the governor is going to continue to travel as he tries to up his visibility as he considers the 2020 presidential run. Can anybody explain to me why you and I have to pay for this? Is there one person who can explain why the Democratic Party doesn't pay for Jay Inslee to be the Democratic Governors Association guy and travels all around? They say that the security detail is a specialized 8-person unit akin to the U.S. Secret Service. They drive Inslee to and from events and hover in the background, keeping an eye out for threats. On travel days, one trooper generally goes ahead of the governor to prepare for his arrival. A second travels with Inslee and must sit close to the governor, even if that means flying business class. Because troopers are required to stick close to Inslee, they've charged the state for expenses including renting cross-country skis in Montana and a bicycle in Nantucket, Massachusetts. I once knew a girl from Nantucket. But I digress. Seattle Times, Northwest News Record Network, they obtained all of these public records documents. So we're paying for state patrol officers to ski, to go bike riding, because Inslee and the Democratic Party won't pay for his own protection as he's traveling around the country so that he can try to be president. Meanwhile, I don't know if you've noticed, we got a drug crime problem in this city that is horrible in this entire region. And maybe we would do better to spend that money on treatment and mental health counseling, jail time, than renting cross-country skis in Montana. It's just a thought. I know, prioritization, not something that our politicians do very well around here. But I find it just absolutely outrageous that you and I have to cover all of this when it's for purely one-party politicking. Your tax dollars at work. Next up in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
We have been talking so much about how crime has taken over far too much of our streets all around this region. It is really sad, and it has tragic, life-impacting consequences on the victims of these crimes. And so much of it is attached to the drug vagrancy that our politicians are tolerating all around the region. There was a particularly tragic incident several nights ago at El Corazon, which is right up the street from Cairo Radio here. And I've driven by often. There are a lot of tents, a lot of homeless camps that have been cleared, and then they pop right back up. And after a show inside the club, according to the police report, a group of young homeless people attacked a local musician from down in Olympia. There were six or seven young men. At least one of them had a baseball bat. And they brutally attacked this guy who, Ryan George, who had just been playing a gig at El Corazon. And his fiance is Cherry Cash, and she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Cherry, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with the most important part of the story. You're at the hospital right now. How is your fiance doing?
He's doing a lot better. He's moved out of ICU and is in more of just acute care is what they call it. But he is walking now, which is great. He can't speak, which is devastating to him because he's a singer.
Yeah.
So he's just working on with speech therapists, trying to remember how to talk and get his voice back.
I read a Facebook post, I think it was by you, right after the attack. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I could certainly understand the raw emotion. Can you just kind of give my listeners a sense of, you know, what you were trying to convey?
Well, it just is, it was a nightmare. I mean, it's just devastating what happened. You know, it just came out of nowhere, and we're just, you know, he wasn't really supposed to live. He beat all odds with the doctors. They said that he was, you know, at the time we were going into the ER waiting room thinking that it was going to be a homicide case is what the cops were telling us. So it just is really fascinating how far he's gone and how strong he is with fighting and, you know, trying to get back to normal and get our life back.
And do you know why he was targeted?
You know, we don't. It just was random. We heard through the grapevine that there was some people before that were drunk that got out and threw beer bottles at him, and maybe they thought it was us. But we were actually walking down the street and just got attacked. So it's just scary that people can't walk the streets anymore.
Yeah.
In Seattle.
Is this
so unsafe?
I know that you're based in Olympia, right? You and Ryan?
We are, yeah. We are in Olympia, so we're just visiting. We were actually seeing a show. We weren't playing, but we were seeing a show.
Okay.
That's okay, yeah. It kind of gets through the grapevine. It's confusing on news and things like that. But
yeah.
We were watching our friends play a show, and we were leaving to go home. So we were just walking to our car.
Is this a club you've been to before?
Oh, yeah, we've played here, too. Yeah. My fiance and I are in a band together. It's St. Helen and is the name. And we've played. Dane is a really, he's amazing. You guys interviewed him on your Cairo interview on TV.
Yeah.
And he is the owner. He's one of our dear friends. And the club has been nothing but phenomenal towards us in support. They're going to be throwing benefit shows and we're just so overwhelmed with how much the music community and Seattle community has come together to help us, you know, with his recovery. So I'm getting choked up.
Yeah.
And help us with him, you know, in his recovery,
yeah,
getting back to normal.
And the owner that you just mentioned, Dana
uh-huh.
Sims,
Dana.
I have some audio from that Cairo TV interview. He was talking about your fiance.
Not only was the person who got attacked a friend, he's a regular patron of this club and a musician who plays this club regularly.
And he said that the homeless camp has been trouble for their club for a long time now.
Constant drug abuse, drug dealing, prostitution, filth.
And he is fed up with what's happening. He's a guy who creates jobs, pays taxes, and he's had it.
The time for talking and coming up with excuses or doing research or passing the buck is over. Like, it's reaching a boiling point in the city.
And when you and your fiance, when you're the victim of that boiling point, I know that it's just heartbreaking, Cherry. It's be thrown into the midst of a nightmare like this.
It really is. I would never wish this on my worst enemy. Like, it is just such a nightmare to just, you know, going and having a good time, and then all of a sudden our lives are just completely changed. It's going to be a long, hard road for him, and a lot of work and a lot of support from family and friends, which we again thank everybody. It has just been surprising. One of our friends started a GoFundMe, and it's just been shocking how many people that we don't even know sending their love and prayers.
Yeah, I saw a lot of anonymous people on your GoFundMe. I'll link that up on our webpage too. But a lot of people have been reaching out. I've seen that, and that's nice that when you've experienced the horror of you know, the worst of our city, that there are a lot of people here who still are full of love too.
That is so true. We are so thankful.
Yeah. Well, what's your feeling about whoever the attackers were?
You know, it's really frustrating because I go through emotions of, you know, just I want revenge, I want justice, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't even know why people would just do this, you know, just go and attack people and just, you know, it's we go to that show, that El Corazon, a lot, and we see almost every time we're there, there's cops there. Like, there's just, the crime is just horrible. And I just feel like, you know, I wish people would just, you know, choose different ways of living their life so these things don't happen.
And what have the police told you about any prosecution of these guys?
We actually don't know yet. We're kind of not really sure. We're just in the waiting time. They're giving us space, and they will probably get back to us in the future that we can update. But we haven't really heard anything yet.
Okay. Well, I wish Ryan a great recovery. I wish peace for
both of you
because nobody should have to have turmoil just thrust on them for no reason.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Cherry, all my best. Good talking with you. Thank you.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
Cherry Cash, her fiancé, still cannot talk, just brutally beaten with a baseball bat, according to the Seattle Police Report in downtown Seattle. And yet, we continue to just enable and tolerate and encourage even more people from around the country to come here because we're the most crime and drug tolerant region in the country these days. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
You hear about this ridiculous story at a Chipotle where a couple of African-American guys, one of them's 21 years old, the one who's been identified because he's the one who's posted the video, Massad Ali. He went into this Chipotle, and at Chipotle, you order your food, they make your burrito or salad or bowl, and then you pay at the end. Well, the manager, who is, you know, looks like she's about 20 years old, Caucasian young woman, she had this encounter with these guys.
Hold on, so what we got to do? What we got to do?
Hey, because you never have money when you come in.
We never have money. We got no money. Bro, look, can we just get our food? Can we just get our food, folks? Apparently, we ain't got no money.
Okay. So because she said you never have money when you come in, she's smiling, she's pleasant as can be. So Massad Ali, he posted this video over the weekend. It had been viewed more than 5 million times. And he went to the newspaper, the Star Tribune, and said it sounded really racist. The way she said it was racist. I don't know how you get racism out of that. And Chipotle fired the manager. There's just one little problem with all of this. It turns out the guy who posted this, Massad Ali, he has a history for years of tweeting and posting on various social medias about how much he loves to dine and dash. Dine and Dash is forever interesting, he once posted. He said that in another post that he was afraid this particular Chipotle was catching on to him and was asking if he has to go somewhere else to dine and dash in the future. And on it goes. Another post. If you a real ass N-word, we going to go to Applebee's and eat as much as we can and tip the nice lady 20 cents and walk the bleep out. He's on probation for theft. So within hours of this video being posted, this girl loses her job. Now, Chipotle, after finding out about his history of tweeting about dining and dashing, said that they are considering retraining and rehiring her. Which makes me really hate Chipotle. She was pleasant to him, she's smiling, but she obviously knew that these guys come in and don't pay. And she said, I'm not going to let you rip off my company anymore. And what does the company do? It fires her and then says, well, we might rehire you if we can retrain you. Listen one more time, because the guy said she sounded so racist.
Hold on, so what we got to do? What we got to do?
Hey, because you never have money when you come in.
We never have money.
And a history of bragging about that. Meanwhile, closer to home, there's a guy who owns a yogurt shop here in Kirkland. And he's being accused of racism because one of his employees called him and said, hey, there's a guy who's been sitting at the table for a half hour and hasn't ordered anything. And so this guy, Ramon Cruz, he talked to our news partners at Cairo 7.
They all come in together. Our staff was actually looking at the money because she's counting.
And he says this guy just sat there, didn't buy anything, kept looking at his phone.
That's pretty much the situation for the next 30 or more minutes.
So his employee was nervous. She said, and there had been a couple of burglaries in the last month in their little strip mall. And so she texted the owner and said, I don't know what to do.
In the text, there was nothing about race, no color. I immediately, front of my head, think, okay, you know, safety first. I called the police.
911 emergency. What are you reporting?
There's this one guy who's been sitting at the corner, hasn't bought anything, has been sitting there for over 30 minutes. They're kind of scared because he looks suspicious. He just keeps looking at the phone and looking at them.
He didn't say anything about race. Happened to be a black guy who was sitting there, and the black guy was there to meet some family that he was mediating for. So he wasn't doing anything wrong, but the employee was nervous. So the shop owner, because they have been robbed a couple times in the last month in that same strip mall, and he said, so we erred on the side of caution here.
We didn't look at it as he is black, right? So,
well, you looked at it as?
As a person who could be, you know, a problem from a safety perspective.
And so they called 911. They erred on the side of caution. So he's being accused of racism. The Chipotle manager was fired for racism, now might be rehired. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Tell you what, if you'd taken every NFL game yesterday and said, I want the outcome that's most favorable for the Seahawks playoff chances, you got every single one of them to fall the Seahawks way. Brock Huard, the Monday Monster quarterback, joins me next on the Dory Monson Show.
Monday Monson quarterback.
Blue in it. Check. Brown 24. Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell. Lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up. Making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Here's Dory Monson.
It is Monday afternoon, and this is a particularly fascinating array of stories that we have to discuss with the Monday Monster quarterback, Brock Huard from 710 ESPN Seattle. What a weekend. Oh, what a weekend.
Doesn't get much better, does it?
Oh, my goodness.
Sun was shining.
Gracious.
Oh, it was beautiful. You could get your yard work in. Sorry you're sore today from that.
Ooh, hauling cans of leaves doesn't agree with my inner thighs.
Your inner thighs?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
That's where it hurts, bro.
I usually guys say back or hamstrings or something like that, but that,
no, it's
that
my
makes sense.
Inner thighs.
Huskies get the job done. Cougs continue to be the story that the Seahawks could not have had. If you were playing the five-way parlay of the best things that could happen to the Seahawks, they hit on every single one of them. Every team they needed to see lose, the Panthers first and foremost, their opponent Sunday, end up losing to Detroit. So everything that could possibly fall their way to help them did, and now they control their destiny.
The Seahawks going into Thursday night football. I like the site 538. They do good analysis of playoff possibilities. Going into Thursday, the Seahawks had a 27% chance of making the playoffs. Coming out of yesterday's games, they now have a 45% chance, and you know they are trending in by far the right direction.
Oh yeah, and if they get this one this week in Carolina, which you know you already know this game, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. It's going to come down to like the final 5 minutes, and if they get this one, things get very, very, very favorable. 49ers twice, Arizona, that's three other games, and then you got to basically, to me, win one of either Minnesota or Kansas City.
Yeah.
And 10, if you get this one, 10 becomes realistic, and if you get to 10, you're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Kansas City might be shutting it down by the time they play 2 days before Christmas, so probably be resting a bunch of starters by then. So yeah, everything's worked out really well, and it's just... it's fun again. Last season, there was too much turmoil. There was too much anger. And now it's just a fun group of guys to watch.
Well, I think that's the big word. And then to me, that's the word of this week. Not even necessarily with the Seahawks come Sunday, but leading up to Sunday. And the guy over in Pullman is having the time of his life. Gardner Minshew, the quarterback there. And if you have not caught the Gardner Minshew phenomenon, then you're on the outside. Okay, you're missing out on one of the great, and I would argue in this season of college football, all over the landscape, and I get a chance to travel around and see a lot of the programs and meet a lot of the people, I don't think there's been a better story in college football than this kid.
And so he was at Alabama. Is that right?
Oh, look, you don't even know the path.
I don't know. I don't.
This is the Johnny Cash of college football. Okay. He was a walk-on at Troy. Didn't work out. He went to Northwest Mississippi Junior College for 2 years.
Okay.
Won a national title. He then transferred to East Carolina, was a captain at East Carolina, got benched. Senior year did not go well. I had one more year of eligibility, was going to go to Alabama and simply be like a fifth stringer and get into coaching. And then Mike Leach called and said, well, before you do that, why don't you come out here? We got a huge, huge void. And we got a hurting football team.
How did Mike Leach even know about this?
Because they're Pirates. Okay, East Carolina Pirate. Mike Leach is a Pirate. Pirates stick together. So he Googled Pirate quarterbacks, and he found Gardner Minshew. How does Mike Leach find any of these guys? He's got three different countries. He's got 18 different states. Yeah. He's got kids from all over the country that all come together, and they've come together in a very unique way. And this kid is the fire starter. He's the igniter, and he is the life of the party, man. He is so much fun, and it's been infectious for his teammates.
Yeah. WSU could barely even get me to Pullman, and I had a daughter who went to school there for 4 years.
True. So how's the house divided right now?
House divided? It's very exciting because my youngest daughter, the Coug, she's the one who's most into football. And I wish, because Apple Cup's Friday.
She's most into everything, isn't she?
Yeah, she
like most Cougs, like they're just in, okay?
Saturday night, it was her birthday, and she rented a little area at a local pub, and it was packed with Cougs. But her group, she had 50 Cougar friends in South Lake Union.
So cool.
I didn't know 50 people when I went to college.
Do you now?
No, I don't know. I've never had 50 friends in my life. That's a good point. That's a really, really good point.
I mean, you know 50 people now, but would 50 want to come hang out?
Yeah. Would I be able to call them and say, hey, let's go watch the Coug game for my birthday? No, I wouldn't be able to.
Let's see. So, Dow Constantine, Ms. Durkin. Like, we could put this together possibly.
Yeah. So I would say the one Coug is overwhelming the four Huskies in the family right now because of all the fun.
fun.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fascinating. It's Friday night. It's going to be a 5:30
Yeah, I don't like that, by the way. I do not like that.
I agree.
I don't like people, because she's going to go over, and I don't like people leaving on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
They got to go back to Saturday Apple Cups.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. But they're not, and it's going to be 5:30, and the Cougs are playing for everything. And the Huskies are, for that matter, too. As tough as a season and tough couple bumps in the road, the Huskies, when the winner of this wins the Pac-12 North, plays for the Pac-12 title, plays for the Rose Bowl opportunities, and the Cougs are still an outside shot looking in at a possible playoff opportunity. The darlings of the conference are right here in this state playing Friday night.
And the Seahawks' playoff hopes are the best they've been all season. So.
And Dory's inner thighs are sore from yard work. They're going to get better over the course of the day.
I should have gotten one of those Suzanne Summer thigh masters back when they were selling those, because then I'd be ready for the yard work. That was a mistake on my part years ago.
You think it's the bow-leggedness that causes that?
Yeah.
Or the bowl-leggedness?
Bow.
Or whatever
Dave Bowman
called it.
Bo.
I'm sure that maybe played a factor.
Okay.
Sorry, this is getting out.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I got to go.
Yeah, I think we went about 2 minutes too long today.
See ya.
Okay, Brock Huard is the Money Monster quarterback. You hear him every morning, 7 to 10 on 710 ESPN Seattle. And we have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
As always, I would love to get your comments on any and everything we talk about. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. What's the president up to? Okay, so Jim Acosta, he got a judge to say he gets his pass back, but the White House is saying, yeah, as soon as that restraining order is lifted, we're going to suspend it again. And Donald Trump talked with Chris Wallace about all of this yesterday.
Reaction to the ruling.
It's just fine. I mean, it's not a big deal. What they said, though, is that we have to create rules and regulations for conduct, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing that. We're going to write them up right now. It's not a big deal. And if he misbehaves, we'll throw him out. Or we'll stop the news conference. Actually,
what are your rules going to be? What is it that you're saying? This is over the line, and you lose
your
president.
Doing them now. I mean, we'll have rules of decorum. You know, you can't keep asking questions. We had a lot of reporters in that room, many, many reporters in that room, and they were unable to ask questions because this guy gets up and starts, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing for him and for CNN, and you know, just shouting out questions. But I will say this: look. Nobody believes in the First Amendment more than I do. And if I think somebody's acting out of sorts, I will leave. I'll say, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate you coming, and I'll leave. And those reporters will not be too friendly to whoever it is that's acting up.
In fact, they released some of those rules of decorum, and it is you get to ask a question, and then you surrender the microphone to our intern who's trying to grab it, and I'll answer the question, but then we move on. We go from reporter to reporter. So then Chris Wallace asked him, why don't you just ignore the guy?
Just don't call him.
Actually, I like to do it, but in many cases I don't. He'll stand up. He's unbelievably rude to Sarah Huckabee, who's a wonderful woman. Unbelievably rude. And I see that, and I actually ask her the same. Why do you call on these people that are so nasty? And I think one of the things we'll do is maybe turn the camera off that faces them, because then they don't have any airtime.
So there's the president. Oh, by the way, on CNN, their thing he talked about with Chris Wallace, and I'm not going to play it for you now, but he was talking about fake news and that he thinks fake news, not the news media in general, but he went off again about how fake news is the enemy of the people. CNN is just a ridiculous organization. And CNN's Kirsten Powers, she has just declared that every single person who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 in America is a racist.
People will say that they support him for reasons other than his racist language, which we don't have time to go through. But there's all sorts of things starting from the launch of his campaign all the way up into the latest campaign, the way he demonized, people trying to come to our country on the caravan. And they'll say, well, I'm not racist. I just voted for him because, you know, I didn't like Hillary Clinton or And I just want to say that that's not, that doesn't make you not racist. It actually makes you racist. If you support somebody who does racist things, that makes you racist. So I just want to establish that.
I just want to establish that. So 63 million people in America, according to CNN's Kirsten Powers, are racist because of who they voted for. I guess everybody can play that game, right? Donald Trump is the first president to have a Jewish daughter, son-in-law, grandkids. I guess that makes CNN's Kirsten Powers a raging anti-Semite. She might be the worst anti-Semite in all of television, just by her own logic. I mean, if you vote for some, if you vote for Hillary, in fact, all 66 million who voted for Hillary must be anti-Semites because they didn't want a president who had a Jewish daughter and son-in-law and grandkids. And that is the logic of what she was saying. That is an extension of the idiocy that spews forth on CNN. And then you have this, the Democratic Socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She has a plan, not just to get elected to Congress, but she wants the Democrats to take over what?
And if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, rather all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, we can't start working in 2020.
Wow. She's really stupid.
The three chambers of government are not the White House, the Senate, and the House. It's the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. And the fact is, I mean, she recorded that. It's a selfie video and then watched it back and then posted it online with no clue, apparently, of how stupid that makes her sound. But that's the future. She's the future of the party. Bless her heart. We got a lot to do in the Fastest 15 coming up next. Did you hear the breaking news Ursula had at the bottom of the hour? The Rolling Stones just announced Seattle's going to be one of their stadium tour stops this summer. Tell you about that and all the other news of the day coming up next.